Share on what you discovered in your worksheets for the week 7, which was the giving week.
No, I can't, because it's I was, where was I? It's my I had to stay off grid.
Oh yes,
Because
okay.
my boat was delayed, and so yeah, I was out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. Just now that you're back on land and got Wi-Fi, if you want to, if any of the weeks that you've missed, you can go into the Nova Hazon group, go under guides, and you'll see Table of Transformation. And I think I've put there like week 7 or week whatever. Just go find, and let me just check here. Let me just check while I'm talking, and then I can tell you what it says. So you'll know from your journal which weeks you've done.
Yes.
So so let me just find here groups. And Nova Hazon group. Okay, guides. Okay, so the guide says guide number 3, and it says TOT, T-O-T, and then it's got Table of Transformation replays. And then it goes like, it goes 24, TOT session, 7 of 24, 6 of 24, 5 of 24.
Okay,
so.
Thank you.
So you can go, and you can go back to any one of those.
Yeah.
And go through. So you can do it again when, you know, if you think, oh, I think I want to repeat that week or whatever the case is. And Chris,
yeah,
you?
Yes, I did it. I'm looking because I've been filling in my pages. I'm typing it in so that I could use it again.
Okay, yeah. I know, I do that too. So.
Yeah. For me, looking at all of the scriptures and that, a lot of us have brought giving and sowing and things like that to a real earthy kind of giving and sowing. The biggest thing that you can sow is to do in the same way Jesus gave his life, is for us to give our lives. And you say that's impossible, we can't die and that. But you do, when you go through the waters of baptism, that is your dying to self. And so the big thing after that is, it's not a practice of what you do right and what you do wrong. That's important. But the biggest thing is to sow your life into the things that God wants you to do. And I think that's the biggest form of giving to God. That's what I thought about.
Yeah. And that was the whole point. The whole point, it wasn't just, it's to see where else God wants you, discovering who you are, where does God want you to give? Do you know what I mean? So the one thing that we discussed was the finance, but there was also time. You know what I mean? Do you give God 2.4% of your time like you do 10% of your finances? Do you give God 10% of your day? You know, so for you, you've discovered something else through those scriptures, and that's the whole point. There isn't any one answer. It's what God's showing you, discovering who you are in Christ. So that's the beauty of this. It's not a subject in itself. It's a subject for what God is trying to say to you at that time.
My giving, it doesn't matter how so and how I give. If it's not, well, actually, it's the heart of love. It's loving the Father.
Yeah.
And so loving him, you're able to give your whole self to him. And that is the biggest kind of song you can do. Because if I tithe, it's not going to mean anything if I'm not prepared to give my life.
You know
what I'm saying? That's the kind of combination that I looked at. I've got to give my whole life, and then my giving can start, because then I'll be giving it. Because I then want to give. I won't just struggle to give. I don't want to give because it's part of who I am.
Yes, yes. And I think that that's the whole point, is that, but it's what is God saying to you, which is what you have experienced since you've been ill. That is what God's been saying to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chris, it's not just this little bit of ministry or whatever. It's your whole life I want.
Whole, yeah.
I mean, and yeah. I'm not saying that none of us, I think we all need to get there. It needs to be a revelation. But sometimes, like for me at one time, it was the finances. Then at another time, it was my time. Do you know what I mean? Because I was so busy working and I wasn't giving God the quality time that he asked me to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's that's great. That's absolutely great. Okay, so let's just have a look here. I'm just quickly scrolling. Okay, I can do the rest of it. Right, so this week it's called From the Inside Out. Babe, sorry, did you have anything to share about giving?
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, so let's go on to, so it's from the inside out, which sounds bizarre in the natural, but what we're going to be doing is we're going to once again, because this is week 8 of the first book which you've got, and then I will send out the second book and we'll do the next 8 weeks, which is protecting the real me. So this one was discovering the real me. So this is the last little bit about discovery. So let me just get where I am. Okay, so basically the whole of all 24 sessions is about working on your soul in relationship with the changes you need to make to align yourself up with how God sees you and who you desire to be in him. Because remember, we have free will, okay? And our will needs to lay down, our will needs to align with him. So it's how much do we desire? We can see exactly how God sees us, but how much do we want to desire to be in him and like him through how he sees us? So over the past few weeks, we've walked through forgiveness, especially about as we know, all believers harp on forgiveness, and it's always forgiveness about forgiving others. But what about forgiving ourselves? Have we actually forgiven ourselves? Do we forgive ourselves 70 times 7 in a day when we mess up and we have a wrong thought, or do we forgive ourselves? Do we put ourselves above God and say, well, I can't forgive myself. Maybe God can, but I can't. And therefore you put yourself above God, because if he could forgive you by sending his son, then you should be able to forgive you. Then we went on to covenant. Okay, so basically we were talking first of all to say, what covenant did you make with the Lord when you gave your life to the Lord? And some of us did and some of us didn't. Some of us didn't realize that we had made covenants, and some of us didn't think that we'd made. But the whole point was, is how important was for us to recognize the covenant that we are in with the Lord, and to maintain that and retain that covenant so that we could stay in the protection of God's promises and God, and who God created us to be. Okay. Then we went on to renewing our minds. So it's in seeing yourself and the situation as God sees them. Not positive thinking, but thinking the way the Lord thinks. And that was a challenge for all of us, not just in seeing ourselves, but in any situation we find ourselves in. Do we see it the way God sees it, or are we overcome by what we see, and therefore our faith gets shipwrecked, or our faith gets knocked so badly that, as we were discussing earlier, you know, we know people that have had their faith shipwrecked through circumstances, because circumstance after circumstance after circumstance has knocked them, and they haven't allowed God maybe to teach them what he was wanting to teach them. they didn't allow, they just were, saw the circumstance. They didn't see what God was trying to teach them in that circumstance, and therefore how he saw the situation. And when we align ourselves up with the situation and not with the Lord, then the situation has control. So that's renewing our minds. Then we went on to hearing God's voice for myself. And if you remember, we discovered different ways, because we did the pictures, we did the music, their smells, all those different ways that God speaks to us. Are we continually open to how the Lord speaks to us, that he can speak to us in any way, shape or form? Or do we close ourselves off and only expect to hear his voice or to see the answers in scripture? Do we close ourselves off to when God is trying to expand us? God is trying to grow us. God is trying to develop us. And I know that quite a few of us have seen prophetic paintings in worship. We've seen those, but we don't think it's for ourselves. And yet that's very much what God is doing. He's wanting us to realize that we weren't created to be put in a box. He created us for much more than what we could think or imagine. Then, of course, we went on to sowing and reaping. And in this is, what do you sow into your life? So what do you speak of yourself? Oh, I'm feeling like I've got a headache. I'm feeling depressed. I'm not enjoying today. I'm miserable. What are we speaking into our lives that we sow later down? So we can, if we speak in, I'm not feeling well today. I'm feeling really out of sorts. That'll sow depression. You'll reap depression. So what are you sowing into your life? And then what are you sowing? Secondly, what are you sowing into the lives of others through your words mainly? But then there's your actions. We went on to speak about actions. We went on to speak about a whole lot of things. Okay, so what are we doing in sowing and reaping? It's not just what Christians are taught. There's so much more to sowing and reaping than just sowing seeds, like with the parable. There's so much. You can sow your money, please, and you can reap a harvest. But you could mostly, if you think about God, God spoke the world into being. And if we are made in his image, everything that we speak creates. It can either create death or it can create life. What are we speaking over our own lives that is creating death? Or are we speaking life into our lives? So that's what we learned there. Then we learned about to love yourself God's way. So the scripture that the main scripture that we used is to love your neighbor as yourself. So loving yourself, that enables you to steward yourself as God's child, as God's civilian, as God's servant well. When we love ourselves, and that's the most difficult thing, we tend to think that we can love others, but we don't have to love ourselves. But the Bible is clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. And when you can love yourself, in other words, love who God created you to be. Not who the world says you are, not who Joe Blog says, your spouse or your children. Love who God created you to be. And in that, mm-hmm. You'll be empowered and enabled to love others. Okay? And so, and then we had the giving, which Chris has just shared on, which is not necessarily giving monetary. We did deal with monetary, but it's time. It's from your heart, okay? It's that kind of giving. It's man puts things in boxes. They put blinkers on to make you go one way, the way that they want. God takes those blinkers off and he expands the impossibility to possibilities. Okay, when we are giving him, when we're giving him of our tithes, when we're giving him of our time, when we're giving him of what little bit we think that we have and we give to him, he expounds on it. He expands our lives. He creates with it. Whatever we give him, you know, the Bible also says whatever is in your hand, you know, or whatever you do with your hands, it will prosper. When we give something to God, he only but prospers it. The only thing that is death is our sin and our transgressions and our iniquities that we need to put to death, but the rest of it is expansive. It grows. So we're going to allow the Lord. Yeah, what is that? Anything? Anybody want to say anything? No? Okay. So allowing the Lord to use the uniqueness of whom he created you to be to accomplish his plans and purposes by pulling them from the heavens to here on earth. That is, and how does it start? It starts on the inside, as we've discovered, through forgiveness, through covenant, through renewing our minds, etc., etc. It's got to start on the inside. It's got to start with us working on our souls. We are, when we are born again, our spirits are made new. There is no changing in our spirits. It's a total, it's a new creation. But the Bible also says that we need to crucify ourselves, in other words, our souls daily. Die to selfishness, die to our will, die to the things that we want, and live to God. Just as Jesus died on the cross in obedience to his Father, so that we might have a relationship with him, so that we might have the freedom of coming into the Father's presence without speaking through another man, but speaking to God face to face, one-on-one. That's what God did. He laid down his son's life. When we lay down our sins, transgressions, iniquities, our desires, our will, then we reap God's plans and purposes for our lives. And we walk in the prosperity of knowing God in the fullest. Okay? So prosperity Amen. Isn't, prosperity once again, isn't just finances. The world and the religious constitutions want to make it just about money or about things. But it's far more than that. Money is the bottom rung. It's like going to grade one or standard one or whatever. Do you know what I mean? That's money. There's so much more above that that God wants to take us into, in the fact of forgiveness, covenant, renewing our minds, etc., etc. And learning about who we are inside enables us to give from the Holy Spirit inside of us. Jesus, who died and gave our life, we gave our life to him, and he lives inside of us. What is inside of us, we can then give out. If we only proportion a quarter of our heart to Jesus, we can only give a quarter of Jesus to the world. But when we give our lives fully to him, and he lives and dwells on the inside of us, we have a whole heart to be able to give to him. We have everything that we can give to him. So let's just quickly just look at some scriptures that depict or that help us to see things God's way. So Jeremiah 29:11-14 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." Now, I know that this was speaking to the Israelites, but think about it in your own situation, right? We tend to go along life thinking everything's good, and then we hit a wobbly and we call to the Lord. But when we call upon him, he comes. When we pray to him, he comes and he listens to us. But when we take it a little bit further and seek him, and we seek him with all our hearts, then the Lord says, "I will be found by you and bring you out of captivity." What captivity are we living in? The world's opinion of us or God's opinion of us? Do we see ourselves as God sees us? Or do we see ourselves as our spouses see us, our children see us, our neighbors see us, our fellow churchgoers see us? Or do we see us who God actually created us to be? And each one of us is uniquely created for God's plan and purpose. I've always said God is a multifaceted God. And if we are made in his image, and each one of us can have a tiny facet of God's image, okay? And we cannot live alone, because God doesn't live alone. He is all-encompassing. So when we take those multi-little facets of each person and we make it into a jigsaw puzzle and we see the beautiful picture, but can you imagine that picture with one or two pieces missing because people don't realize that they are meant to be connected. They're meant to be a part of God's body, a part of God's family, a part of God's army, a part of whatever part God's dealing with you in. We're supposed to be in all three at any given time during our day. We're supposed to be a child of God, we're supposed to be a citizen of God, and we're supposed to be a servant of God. And that can happen all simultaneously, or from 9 to 10, you serving God. From 10 to 11, you being a child of God. From 11 to 12, you being a citizen. You doing the do's and don'ts and instructing people. Your life contains all three, and yet they separate. Your life contains God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They three in one, and yet they separate. They function differently, and yet the same. And to man's worldly way of thinking, that doesn't make sense, which is so beautifully unique to God and to our lives. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I know in your journal there's going to be some questions about that one. So I'm going to be quite excited to see what God says to you guys uniquely, because the last time I did this and the ladies did it, it was actually very interesting to see the aspect of God that came out in their answers. So here we know, as I said, our spirits are born afresh. They are a new creation. Because before we met Christ, our spirits were dead. They were dead to God. They were only alive to the world and the devil's schemes. But when we said yes to Jesus, and we accepted him as our Savior, our spirits were alive to God. We could then communicate directly with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. We didn't need any intercession person or anybody to go in and ask for forgiveness for us. We could go directly into, because of the blood of Jesus, and because we had accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now that's speaking directly to Jeremiah. But you know what? That pertains to us. He might not have appointed us as a prophet, but he's appointed us as a servant, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a whatever you want, whatever God has laid on your heart, a missionary, a whatever, okay? Allow God, because there will be a question about that one too, allow God to show you what he's appointed you for, because he knew you in your mother's womb. Before you were even born, he set you apart. Each one of us is unique to what God has planned and purposed. Then if we go on to Psalm 139, verses 13 to 18, it says, for you created my, this is basically me speaking to the Lord, you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. See, how precious are your thoughts, not man's thoughts, not even my thoughts. But how precious are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. God's thoughts about us, you know, just about us individually. There's such a vast sum of thoughts. I don't think we would ever be able to obtain all the thoughts that God thinks about us. How much he loves us. How much he appreciates us. How much he fashioned us. How much uniqueness he's put within us. Sorry, I lost my place now.
17.
How vast? Okay, 18 we're going. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God is forever with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always with us. So allowing yourself to see that in the fact of when we accept Jesus, that verse becomes alive to us. And it doesn't matter if you 1 month in the Lord, 6 years in the Lord, 50 years in the Lord. If you read that every single time, you will learn something new about the Lord and about yourself. Because he's ever increasing, expanding our vision of who he created us to be. We will never attain the fullness here on earth, but we can try and we can learn. And I believe what we're learning here on earth will be our foundation for what we receive and what we do in heaven one day. That's just my belief, okay? I haven't seen it in the Bible. It's just my belief. Like you go to grade one, grade two, you learn maths in grade one. You still learn maths in grade two, but they add extra bits to it. You still learn maths in grade three, but there's extra bits. And that's how I see my life with the Lord. There's a never-ending time of learning about, firstly, who God is, firstly, and secondly, who he created me to be. And then Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, if I apply that to my life, God sent a word. God created me in my mother's womb. He sent a word and he said, I knew you before. You were even in your mother's womb. I formed you in your mother's womb. I set you apart. What was his word spoken over me? And will I allow him? According to this, I should. Okay. Will I allow him to achieve the purpose for which he sent me? As I said to you guys before, this is not a teaching of theological things. This is what God showed me when he was speaking to me about who I am and how he helped me to discover. And I still go over this. When I'm coming to share with you guys, I see new aspects of myself in Christ every single time. It's something that you can go over and over again, and God can always show you new aspects of who he created you to be. Just as much as God is a multifaceted God and we are made in his image, so we have multifacets that we haven't even seen in our own selves yet, but we can allow God to show us. So from the inside out, and from the inside. So as I said to you earlier, if you only give the Lord a quarter of your heart, or if you give him the whole heart, what's inside of us will be the witness to God's goodness and grace. What's on the inside, when we discover what's on the inside, when we discover who we are, our witness becomes purer and purer to be Christ-like.
That's right.
Okay, so that is the beauty of realizing that we have been made uniquely for a plan and a purpose. And that plan and purpose does not have to measure up to any man's standard. It has to measure up to the word of God in what he has spoken over you, what he has called you to do, not what man has said. Whether that's a woman or a man, I'm just saying man is in mankind. Okay? So in your workbooks, you'll probably have questions about different things like, do you know the plans that God has for you, those kind of things. And you'll be going through the scriptures that we went through now. You'll be going through those each as you go through it. And hopefully you'll discover more about yourself in what God has planned and purposed for you, which will be very exciting for you to share. It'll be a vision for us to be able to stand alongside and be able to support you in that. And as I said, this week is our week 8 of So Discovering the Real Me. Next week, I believe, is it the second week in? Yeah, so I think we'll still have another. So it'll be week 1 of the second section, which is Protecting the Real Me. So we'll go into discovering how to protect what God has revealed to us so that the enemy can't come and steal, kill, and destroy what God knows and who he knows we are, not what the world or the devil thinks we should be. Okay, so I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'll stop recording, and then we can just share our thoughts or just share anything that you want or ask questions or whatever the case is. So, Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that every step of the way, you are teaching us who we are in you, who you created us to be, your plans and purposes for our lives. And Father, I just pray that whoever hears this session, Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart, that would remove blinkers through words spoken over them as children or as parents or as whatever, Lord. I just pray that those blinkers would be removed and they would begin to see themselves truly from the inside out. They would truly begin to see themselves as you see them. They would discover who you created them to be, their unique gift, their unique talent, their uniqueness in what you've called and planned and purposed for them. And so, Father God, I pray protection over every single one of us. I ask, Lord, that you would teach us once again a new aspect of ourselves that we've never seen before. And I thank you for this. I thank you, Lord, that you life with you is never boring. I thank you, Lord, that it is always, always having an expectancy to the revelation of your word and your ways and your will. And so, Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to glorify the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now I've got a horrible suspicion I did not